February 2, 1895. Activity in our churches. The prevailing monotony of the religious round of service in our churches needs to be disturbed. The leaven of activity needs to be introduced that our church members may work along new lines and devise new methods. The Holy Spirit's power will move upon hearts when this dead, lifeless monotony is broken up, and many will begin to work in earnest who never before thought of being anything but idle spectators. A working church on earth is connected with the working church above. God works, angels work, and men should work for the conversion of souls. Efforts should be made to do something while the day lasts, and the grace of God will be revealed that souls may be saved to Christ. Everywhere souls are perishing in their sins, and God is saying to every believing soul, hasten to their help with the message that I shall give you. Economy. The Lord has made men his agents, and with heart filled with the love of Jesus, they are to cooperate with him in turning men from error to truth. God blesses the earth with sunshine and showers. He causes the earth to bring forth its plenteous treasures for the use of man. The Lord has made man his almoner, to dispense his heavenly gifts by bringing souls to the truth. Will my brethren in America inquire how the precious, saving truth reached them when they were in darkness? Men and women brought their tithes and offerings unto God, and as means filled the treasury, men were sent out to advance the work. This same process must be repeated if souls in darkness are reached in this day. But I have seen that there are many who are withholding their tithes altogether, and others are withholding a part, and yet the great missionary work increases year by year. We should learn to economize in our household expenditures. No needless expenses should be incurred, because want and wretchedness, poverty and misery of every description press upon our notice, and we are called upon to help those who are needy and distressed. We must see that those who need food and clothing are supplied, that those who are in soul poverty may understand the goodness of salvation. Earnest work. It is when we are engaged in earnest work, working according to our several abilities, that God manifests himself to us and gives us grace for grace. A working church in travail for souls will be a praying church, a believing church, and a receiving church. A church whose members are found upon their knees before God, supplicating his mercy, seeking him daily, is a church that is feeding upon the bread of life and drinking of the waters of life. The promise, "Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you," will be verified to them. Christ-like activity pursued with persevering zeal will bring large returns. There will be an enlarged experience in love, and the human agents will have elevated views as to what God would do through them as they stand at their post of duty. Then will the church arise and shine, realizing that the glory of the Lord has risen upon her and that darkness is receding. Missionary success will be proportionate to wholehearted, thoroughly consecrated effort. Every departure from true missionary effort, every failure to cherish the missionary spirit, has reacted upon the church, and there has been a decline of spirituality. But every earnest effort that has been made in missionary lines has brought spiritual health to the church and has not only increased the membership of the church, but has increased its holy zeal and gladness. The commandment-keeping people of God ere long will be placed in a most trying position, but all those who have walked in the light and diffused the light will realize that God interposes in their behalf. When everything looks most forbidding, then the Lord will reveal his power to his faithful ones. When the nation for which God has worked in such a marvelous manner and over which he has spread the shield of omnipotence, abandons Protestant principles, and through its legislature gives countenance and support to Romanism in limiting religious liberty, then God will work in his own power for his people that are true. The tyranny of Rome will be exercised, but Christ is our refuge. Self-denying sacrifice.
Many have been altogether too long in a sleepy condition. While some have worked intently and have manifested unfailing energy, others have stood as spectators and have been ready to make remarks of a critical character as to methods and results. This they are ready to do, though they have never exercised their minds in originating any plans whereby precious souls might be saved for Christ. They stand ready to find fault with those who do something. When these indolent souls awake and show some signs of returning consciousness, they are disappointed if others do not at once find them pleasant places in the work. It is a great shock to them to find out that work cannot be done without painstaking, self-denying, self-crucifying efforts. They expect success, and think that they must have the same order of success as did the apostles on the day of Pentecost. This success they will have when they go through the experience of humble, self-denying sacrifice, as did the apostles. When they present as earnest supplications from broken, contrite, believing hearts, as did the apostles, then the same proportion of success will attend their labors. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Home missionary work. The home missionary spirit is little known among us, and its manifestation is greatly needed in every line of work. A portion of the church has begun to exhibit some activity along missionary lines, but if we do not awake more generally and fully, then those who know not the truth for this time will advance before us and block up our way. How long will it require to wake up the idlers who have for years loitered in Battle Creek? When will they become faithful witnesses for God? How long will it be before they yoke up with Christ? How much time each day is set apart for the worship of God? How many have seasons for contemplation and for fervent prayer? How many have educated themselves in economical habits so that they may have gifts and offerings for the Lord's house? How many have had their hearts warmed by the practical exercise of benevolence? How many have made earnest efforts to inspire others to work for the Master? To work at home successfully will need a spirit, faith, and perseverance that will not fail nor be discouraged. There is not one inactive in heaven, and no one will enter the mansions of bliss who has failed to show love for Christ, who has put forth no efforts for the salvation of others. Who can tell the work that might have been done in our churches if those who had advocated the truth had not left these feeble churches to crowd into Battle Creek? If all our people had been faithful, diligent, God-fearing servants of Christ, and had put forth efforts to make their influence as far-reaching as possible at home, where they were, how many souls might have been saved? One taper kindled in one place might have been the means of kindling many others, and the result would have been that the voice of praise and thanksgiving would have been heard, and many would have said, "What hath God wrought? He hath done exceedingly abundantly above all that we asked or thought."